good to see everyone here. As you know, I've had a few rough weeks the last few weeks. And as I get started, I just, it's been kind of emotional these last few weeks, so I hope I'm able to hold myself together. Just warning you. First of all, what happened? A number of weeks ago, I started to see a lot of blood coming out of my body. And at the beginning, from my intestinal tract, if you didn't understand. Anyway, at the beginning, I disregarded it. I didn't really pay much attention. I even looked at Dr. Google and said, if it's a day or two, it's no big deal. So I let it go three or four. And my wife was telling me, listen, you got to go see a doctor. So I called the doctor. I didn't get through to him. It was another day. Anyway, finally I made an appointment with the doctor and I went to get a blood test just to bring some fresh blood tests to the doctor. And I went to Kupat Cholim, and as I'm walking in, I was teetering. And the nurse looked at me and she said, I'm calling you an ambulance. So the first time I ever went in an ambulance in my life. And they took me to the hospital. First of all, riding an ambulance is no fun. It's a very uncomfortable ride. Even though you're lying down and somebody else is driving, you feel every bump. So that was one thing that I learned. But I got to the hospital and I was had a hemoglobin of 4, which, if you know what that is, a male is supposed to have anywhere between 14 and 18. 4 is more dead than alive. And I only realized it later when some doctors took a look back and said, you know, if you would have gone down a little more, you wouldn't have had enough blood to get through your heart to feed the rest of your body. You're really in a life and death situation. Anyway, I got to the hospital and they started giving me blood. That's what you do. So I got 7 units of blood and 2 plasmas. And blood comes like a pint of blood. It's concentrate. And each pint of blood is really like more than a liter of fluid in your body. That's it. It creates a liter of fluid. A liter weighs a kilo. A kilo... I got almost 10 kilo of fluid in my body, and it expands. And in 5 days, I gained about 25 pounds. I was like an elephant or a whale. My legs were so heavy that I couldn't step into a bathtub. I couldn't lift my legs. It was really it was hard to walk. Since then... they gave me diuretics, which really, to get rid of the fluid, heavy-duty diuretics, and I've lost 40 pounds, and I weigh, hard to believe, about 3 pounds more than I weighed at my wedding. I weigh 168 pounds. I weighed 165 at my wedding. I've never been so, for the last 41 years, I've never been this weight. Anyway, so... you know, you could say it's a good thing. This is, I went to the Shari Tzedek's Fat Farm Spa and lost a bunch of weight. But it's not such good loss, weight loss. But anyway, so the first thing that I learned in the hospital is listen to your body. My body was sending me a message that you got to take care of yourself. And ishto kugufo, so really part of that is listen to your wife. My wife told me I should go to the doctor. I really should have gone to the doctor a lot earlier than I did. Life is fragile. That's really the first thing that I learned. Not so much that life is short, because life is short if a person dies at 9 or a person dies at 99. It's always too short. that everybody knows. But the thing that got to me was that life is so fragile. I was fine. And then all of a sudden, one day, I wasn't fine at all. And it is so fragile when you think about how much every single part of the body. And as I was in the hospital, one of the things that I did, I wasn't able to really concentrate much, but after I was able to concentrate, one of the things that I made it my business to do was to understand what the doctors were talking about. So I spent a couple of hours a day watching medical school videos about my condition to learn and be able to converse with the doctors. And after a while, I was able to really talk to the doctors and the medical students. They used to send medical students to me to check me out, and I would quiz them on different things. So I got an education. But in any case, life is so fragile, and there are so many things that can go wrong, and the fact of the human body being such an amazing nace that we are able to do anything is really, really so fascinating. When one thinks about it, I was always amazed by the doctors that weren't wearing a kippah in Shaarei Tzedek. How could you be so involved with the human body and see how complex and intricate it is and not be a full ma'amin? It's so unbelievable the way the human body and every single part of it interacts with each other. Mode ani and asher yatzar should not be taken for granted. Rofecho basaro maflila asod. It really is. The fact that Hashem keeps us healthy is a maflila asod. It's really a pele. It's really an ace. In the hospital, you know, we just learned actually in Daf Yomi that Arba Tzrichin Lahodot. So you have Holchei Midbarot, Yordei Hayam, and Cholesh Nitrapei, and Yotzei Mibeit Asurim. When I came out of the hospital, I felt that I was Mekayim two of them. Yotzei Mibeit Asurim, because you really feel like you're in prison. You're in prison with some really good and really nice people around and real care, but you're in prison. And also Cholesh Nitrapei. After a few days, the doctors were unable to find where I was bleeding from, the source of my bleeding, and why I was bleeding. And for the first time in my life, really, I rarely get scared from anything except for roller coasters. But besides that, I'm not a person who gets scared easily. For the first time in my life, I was really scared. I said, these guys don't know what they're doing. They know what they're doing, but they don't know what is my problem is. They don't know what my problem is, and they don't know how to solve it. And I was really scared. And I had a mashber bitachon. A mashber bitachon means, if you're really scared, because bitachon means not being scared. Bitachon means that you really know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of you, and things will work out well because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. Because if we wouldn't have bitachon, we would become, if a person has this thought in his head of how fragile life is, we would be completely neurotic. Because so many things can go wrong with a person's body at any moment in time. And it's a nace that things do work together. If a person didn't thought about that too much, he becomes neurotic. If a person thinks about all the things that can go wrong in life, he can walk out the door and chas v'shalom get hit by a car, and there are people who get maimed for life in a second, how fragile life is. If we would think about that too much, we'd be neurotic, become neurotic. So the answer to that is bitachon. Realize I don't have to think about it too much because Hashem runs the world. And Hashem has my best interests in mind. And when a person has that bitachon, the next stage, and bitachon is something which you really have to work on, and it's really yisodi, but without that there really is no life. A person goes can really go crazy. It goes together with emunah, but it's almost like the lowest stage of emunah, the lowest level of emunah. That you have bitachon that Hashem is taking care of you. Otherwise, we'd go crazy. But once you get there, the next stage is hodah. The next stage is to give thanks. So we said arba'at tzrichin lahodot. But that's after the fact. That's after he got out of prison, one gets out of prison, or after he's been healed, or after he comes off the boat, or after he crosses the midbar. That's relatively easy. Relatively easy is to give thanks to Hashem after the fact. In the midst of the situation, though, it's much more difficult. When a person is suffering, thankfulness, which is so necessary to have hakarat hatov to Hashem, is really not so easy when a person's in the middle of suffering. When a person's laying there and he's connected to all kinds of IVs and tubes and he's a prisoner to his bed because he can't move around so much, it's difficult to be thankful. But if one thinks about it, and that's the key, is to think about it, then even that becomes an imperative. And how did I do it? I did it with three things. Three things taught me that I have to be thankful even in the hospital, even before I get out. And they're really basic ideas. First of all, as bad a situation as one is in, and the person can be in a terrible situation, no matter what, realize there's always somebody worse off than you. Always. I went to shul one day and there was another guy there. I was ended up in cardiology. I'll tell you about that in a minute. And I asked him, you know, how you doing? And he said, well, they did this for me and they did that for me. And one thing was successful, wasn't he? He wasn't successful, but that's not my biggest problem. My biggest problem is that I have cancer. So I said, oh man, here I'm thinking about how tough my situation is. I'm here, going to be here for 3 weeks. You know, everywhere you turn, there's always somebody who's worse off than you. Always. So if you ever feel down in the dumps, really, if you ever feel down in the dumps, oh man, this I'm really in such a bad situation, just go visit the hospital. It'll pick up your mood. You realize that there's others that are in way worse shape than you are. The second thing, which I realized, but I've realized this before, but it came to the head in the hospital. They did, you know, before I went to the hospital, I was on blood thinners. Now, bleeding without reason and blood thinners is a very bad combination. So one of the things they had to do for me was get me off the blood thinners. Now, the way blood thinners, the reason why people have blood thinners is that they shouldn't get a stroke. Because if the blood coagulates and go to the brain, anywhere in the body, and go to the brain and cause a stroke, chas v'shalom. Now, 95% of blood clots happen in a certain place in the heart, in a certain appendage, it's called an appendix of the heart, which I didn't even know existed until I came to the hospital. And what they do is they go through with a catheterization, with a tintur, it's called, with a they insert a little thing up your thigh through a vein, and they get into your heart, and they're able to insert a little tiny umbrella into this little appendix, and they close it off that blood clots shouldn't occur there. This procedure is about 15 years old, and it's absolutely amazing, unbelievable. All the surgery and the catheterizations that are done today are all on a computer screen. Everything is light years ahead of it was 15 and 25 and 35 years ago. And that's the point, is that we live in an amazing door of chesed. We have to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're living right now. My grandfather, Olav HaShalom, died in 1940. He never reached his 40th birthday. He was born in 1900, but he never reached his 40th birthday. And he had a simple, I don't know exactly what it was, but I imagine. It was a simple, he had a heart, some kind of heart condition, which today they can easily take care of. Life expectancy at the beginning of the century was like 40. People died left and right. We live in a door of chesed that's unbelievable. They can do things that they weren't able to do 15 years ago. And that brings me to the next thing. That even things that happen that seem like really bad things, gamzu l'tova. This is also l'tova. I imagine, I think about it, somewhere in Shemayim, it was written on some kind of pinkas. Libor, in the year 20XX, is going to get a stroke. My chances now of getting a stroke are almost zero, because they did this procedure for me. Now, I never would have gotten that if I wouldn't have bled in this whole business. Who knows? L'chora, I was saved from some kind of calamity sometime in the future because of this sickness. Gamzu l'tova. So that's also a reason to give hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone's always worse off than you are. Realize that we live in an amazing door of chesed. I wouldn't want to live at any other time. We live in the greatest time in all of human history. And gamzu l'tova. I want to talk a little bit about Shaare Tzedek Hospital. Also, an amazing place. Every hospital in Israel is amazing because it's a great equalizer. It's unbelievable. Everyone's equal. In my room, I had an Arab. I had two Arabs. Chilonim, Datiim, Haredim. Everybody is just a person. We're all people. And we're all in there together. And everybody gets along. And everybody's nice to each other. And everybody talks to each other. And everybody asks, you know, where do you live? Oh, I live in Beit Tzfafa. There was another guy who lived some Arab village north of Ramallah. And we talked a little politics. He says, I don't really care about the politics. You know, he was downplaying the whole Israeli-Arab conflict. Very pleasant conversations I had with the Arabs in my room. It's a very humbling experience being with everybody together, but it's also very beautiful. Probably nowhere else in Israel can you have this kind of situation where you're really, everybody's together and everybody's just a person. And families are just families and people are just people. This phenomenon is so powerful, I don't think it can happen anywhere else except in a hospital in Israel. But Shaare Tzedek is a very special hospital because it's that and Maayanei HaYeshua and Bnei Brak are the only two Dati hospitals in the country that are officially Dati. which means, for instance, on Shabbat, there's always a goy of Shabbat in each and every department that will do things that are, you know, if it's not an emergency, of turning on lights and different things, and everything works on Grum switches and all stuff like that. The vast majority of the doctors and the nurses in Shaare Tzaddik Hospital are dati. The women have kisui rosh, the men have kippot. The vast majority, not all of them, but the vast majority. The shul in Shaare Tzaddik Hospital is something to see. It's really something to see, especially on Shabbos. There are hundreds of people. They have two minyanim for each davening because there's not enough room in the shul. There are hundreds of people. Now, in the shul, you have some people that are really, really sick that make it to shul. And you have their caretakers, their family members, who are taking care of these really, really sick people. So you have that part of the hospital. And then you have laning in the morning. And after every aliyah is Mazel Tov, because they're calling up fathers who have just had children that they either want to name or have a mishaber for their wives. This duality and the contradiction that takes place in Shaare Tzaddik Hospital is really a very powerful symbol of the cycle of life, which you don't see anywhere so powerfully. I mean, we all know people dying, people are born. We all know about the cycle of life. But here you see it in such a powerful way. Really sick people. And everybody's screaming Mazel Tov and singing for the guy who just got an aliyah. There are four shiurim of Daf Yomi taking place in Shaare Tzaddik Hospital in the shul. You know, it's like, it's amazing. Funny thing that happened to me, one of my procedures was actually a very interesting thing, which a lot of doctors and medical students wanted to see. So there was a big crowd, and it's not something which they do every day. So there was a big crowd that were coming to see, and all of a sudden there were like maybe 35, 40 people in the room. And they were all crowded around, and they said they're waiting for the anesthesiologist to come. And then the nurse was getting ready, you know, the whole get everything ready, and the anesthesiologist walks in. And the nurse says to him, "We're not ready for you yet." He says, No, I'm not here for that. I just came to get my Gemara. I have to learn Daf Yomi." It was a different anesthesiologist that was supposed to do the take care of the procedure. It was just very funny. But anyway, one of the things actually, which Daf Yomi has been a thing that's been a lot of noise the last few couple of months, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me a strong message here. I figured I had to do something. So I accepted on myself to start doing Daf Yomi. But I accepted an amazing message of Daf Yomi, which I heard from B'Shem Rav Dov Fendel. Rosh Yeshiva Steirot, used to be Boger of Shalvim. He said, "You know, a bagel's really good, even though it has a hole. Swiss cheese is really good, even though it has a lot of holes. Some people don't want to do Yad Daf Yomi because they're afraid they're going to miss a day here, a day here, and they're going to have holes. And they get frustrated, and then they give up. Don't care about the holes. Do the daf of the day. Even if you have a hole, you miss a day, it doesn't matter. Skip. Do the daf of that day." And that was such a powerful message to me. I said, "You know what? I'm going to do that. I haven't missed a day yet." But knowing that you can miss a day is also a great, has a calming effect. Anyway, that's just as an aside. One last thing is the idea of chesed. We already spoke about Hashem's chesed, but I want to speak about human chesed. And I want to be mechalik the chesed into two different types. There's big chesed and there's small chesed. The big chesed is not for everybody. But the small chesed everybody can do. The big chesed, the doctors and the nurses in the hospital, was unbelievable. Their dedication and their care and their compassion and the hours that they put in and the time and the effort, wow. It struck home so much by seeing them day in, day out. You know, a lot of you guys are thinking about professions. It's surely not for everybody. But if you can do it, obviously, some guys are going to go into chinuch, rabbanim, mechanchim. That's fantastic. That's chesed of Torah. But if you're not going to do that, and you want to do something that is a life of chesed, again, it's not for everybody, you got to love it. But if you can do it and put up with the really amazing difficulties, it's like nothing else. The amount of chesed you do for a person and for people, and if you do it in Eretz Yisrael, for Am Yisrael, is really, it's like nothing else. There's nothing like it. And then there's the small chesed. Now the small chesed is chesed which everybody can do, every one of you can do. And this was amazing in Shaarei Tzedek. Every Thursday, Motzei Shabbat, every Friday, musicians come and they play music, they go around singing songs, playing music in the wards. There are people who come around with giving out cake to the families. There are people that are involved with organizations, whether it's Ezim Etzion or whatever, that they come and they give sandwiches to the families. There are Mavaker Chola people. People that just feel that they want to go and be Mavaker Chola, to be Mechazek, somebody who may not have so many visitors. So there were two guys that stood out. One guy, I saw him every week. He would come once a week. He would come in. He wouldn't say much, but he had a big smile, and he said, "I just want to wish you a refuah shleima," with a big smile. It was mechazek, you know? It was really something. And the guy, he didn't do anything. What did he do? He walked around for an hour from bed to bed. "Just want to wish you a good Shabbos and a refuah shleima," with a big smile. And then there was a kid who was deaf. And he came in and he said, "I want to wish you a refuah shleima." I started talking to him. And he says, "I'm sorry, I'm deaf, I can't hear, but I wanted to wish you a refuah shleima." Once a week, this kid came around. Also, it was amazing. You have a bunch of guys like this that do these kind of things. Anybody could do it. Bekitzer, Tzvi Misakem, the three main things I learned in the hospital. Bitachon, Hoda, giving Hoda to Hashem, and Chesed, the Chesed I saw and the Chesed which all of us can do. And when I thought about it, these are really the three parts of man. This is Machshava, Dibur, and Maisa. Bitachon is Machshava. Hoda is Dibur, giving thanks to Hashem. And Gmilut Chesed, which all of us can do, big Chesed or small Chesed, that's Maisa. Yiratzon, we shouldn't have, any of us, shouldn't have greatness, you're not. But we should be zoche to live a life of bitachon b'Hashem, being able to give hodah to Hashem, and be able to give and do gmilut chesed to our fellow Jews. We should all be zoche. Shkoyach for listening.